Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Bam.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
To you and welcome. The Michaels Show is on the air. We are always glad to have you. Glad you're here. Thanks so much, as always, for taking a listen to us. We certainly appreciate it. 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. That's on the loansbykip.com. Toll free talk line if you want to chime in. I want to let you know that next Monday, it's Memorial Day, and a very special day, as always. We're going to air a lot of the interviews that we do that we just had on the Honor Flight. But the trailer for the Honor Flight video side of things is now out. It came out a little bit earlier today. It is posted over on the Facebook fan page. So if you want to take a look at it just to get kind of a sense for what it is we have a chance to do, go to Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. And you can find it there. It's the blue verified check mark. Or I just put the link out on Twitter also. You can check that out. But our first trailer for this year's Honor Flight is now the video side of things is up. And you can, it's only a couple of minutes. You can take a look at that at your leisure. But always gives you chills when you start to put the music and the scenes all together for what it is we have a chance to witness. Talking some Packers football as we continue on. Paul Emig, our green and gold analyst. Now, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how you doing?
Bill, doing well. You just did an entire segment on the NHL. That was amazing. When I turned on the show, I said, wait, is this all NHL? This is great.
Yep.
I'm glad are you catching the playoff bug or what?
Well, I always enjoy playoff hockey, don't get me wrong. And yeah. I jump onto the Nashville bandwagon. Just because we've covered, you know, Pekka Rinne when he was here with the Milwaukee Admirals and got a chance to go down and see a bunch of Admirals games. So, you know, you kind of have that rooting interest there. I'm not a Blackhawks fan. I think there's a lot of Blackhawks fans in the area, obviously, but I'm not a Blackhawks fan. There's a lot of Red Wings and Minnesota Wild fans here as well. But so I pay attention to Nashville. But, boy, what the Vegas Golden Knights have done has been
amazing,
so impressive. And when we talked, I was watching today on, I think it was SportsCenter that had it on. They were talking about franchises that early on in existence have won championships. I mean, the Bucs are mentioned, which is so cool. But you look at teams like, you know, Tampa Bay that didn't win a game for like 2.5 years, you know, Tampa Bay in the NFL. And then you talk about a lot of the other franchises. So, you know, for them to be not only a winning franchise in their first year of existence, but off to the biggest, you know, series in the sports, you know, in the sport. That's fantastic. So I'm kind of fired up about this. I'm becoming that Golden Knight. And the Golden Knights got a cool logo, so I'm becoming a Golden Knights fan.
Yeah, I actually went to a Golden Knights game in November when I was there. And I don't know if you know this, my wife and I have the goal of going to every NHL home team arena, and we have checked off 15 of the current 31.
No, so that would make you more of an NHL fan than anything.
We just love the NHL. The fact that it's, you know, that it's not, you know, we've been to Chicago. I'm with you. I'm definitely not a Blackhawks fan. We've been to Nashville. That was fun. We initially like kind of latched on to the Tampa Bay Lightning. My dad lives down there, so we've probably been to, I don't know, a dozen Lightning games. And then as we've traveled, we've kind of added one on in every city we've been to. We try to make particular trips out of particularly going to NHL arenas. And so it's just such a fun experience. And I sure hope that in my lifetime there's an NHL team in Milwaukee, because that would be amazing, and I would go poor very quickly buying season tickets.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably would, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. Not unless somebody with more money than God shows up and says, I'll be willing to pay $1 billion to do this. I don't ever see it happening anytime soon, but... Anyway,
I'm not going to let you dull my spirits.
You know, I do that with a lot of. There's a lot of NHL fans here, and it's not that I don't want one. That's not the point. The point is that it's one of those. It's just not going to happen. It's just the feasibility of it just isn't going to allow it to happen. So that's why I'm completely thrilled to get down to as many Admirals games as I possibly can. I went to 5 this year, so I enjoy hockey. I'll tell you what. The other thing, and I've said this time and again, we had Aaron Sims on a little while ago. Aaron's one of the best. We talk so much about Ted Davis and Wayne Larrabee and Bob Uecker and Matt LaPay and such. You forget about how good Aaron Sims is. When you hear him call a game, he is fantastic. And I think hockey is by far the most difficult to call.
Oh, yeah. It moves fast. There are very little pauses. I could never do it myself, for sure.
So, speaking of doing it yourself, we have not. Everything is just right now quiet. The one thing that I think people are chatting about more and more and more over the last week or two has been the NFL. I mean, Major League Baseball goes over to London. They're going to have the Red Sox and the Yankees there. There's more talk about NFL being in London. I guess it's just one of those times of year where there's not a lot to talk about, so they got to find something to talk about. But I keep hearing the Packers' name comes up, and I cannot ever imagine the Packers giving up a home game to go over there, but there's a lot of teams that don't want to do that because the Packers fans travel so well, so they don't want to give out a sold-out home game at their own place. At what point do you see the league saying, enough, you got to go?
Yeah, it's not going to be a Packers home game. It's not. And you're right. That's the problem that exists is the one that you just carved out is Packers fans travel really well. So it doesn't really matter how much that team might struggle to draw attendance. If you're going to host the Packers, that fan base travels extremely well. I think it will happen in the next 10 years. It's not exactly like doing Hard Knocks. It's not like the Cleveland Browns and, they're going to be on Hard Knocks this year. And for the longest time, if you think about it, I think it's pretty much a Packers. Cleveland Browns have become Packers East. So I'm not sure what John Dorsey's initial reaction was when he was told about being on Hard Knocks. But sometimes there's enough of a league mandate or enough of a league pressure where it's like, hey, this is going to happen. And I know Mark Murphy, for the most part, at least when it comes to it being a Packers home game, I don't know if Mark Murphy would care if it's a road game. I mean, it's still a major travel for your team. And that, especially if you're going to play in London on a Sunday and then maybe you have to come back for a road game the following Sunday or whatever the case might be, that's a tough week on your team. And it has been in the past. I mean, those games in London, don't they usually start central time, like 8 a.m. or 9 a.m.?
Yeah, so, they do.
That's what you're, even if you go to London for the whole week, which most teams do to practice and just kind of get acclimated, you're still, as someone who lives in the Packers case, those guys working in Wisconsin, and some of them living in Wisconsin, you're going to start an NFL game at 8 in the morning. I don't care if you've been there for 4 nights. You're still not ready to go at 8 a.m. most of the time. So it's a challenge, and I'm sure Mark Murphy will push against it when he can and for as long as he can. And again, I never think it's going to be a Packers home game. I just can't see it happening. But a road game, hey, Packers and Browns in 2021, you got to go to London. I think it'll happen eventually. The Packers are such a marketable team. The NFL clearly has its sights set on building a fan base there as much as they can. And, the Packers are, along with the Cowboys, are usually some of the first couple teams that fans think of, even outside of the country. So it'll happen. Packers home game, though, I think you can comfortably say they would have to be absolutely forced by Roger Goodell to do that. And I don't think Goodell would get to that point.
I was watching on Facebook over the weekend. There's been this statistic that's been flying around. I don't know if you saw it, but it's basically the first 10 seasons comparing Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. And the numbers, short of rings, are overwhelming in favor of Aaron Rodgers. How good should we consider Aaron Rodgers? I mean, people talk about Tom Brady because of the rings, obviously. But you talk about his own rushing yards, the games played. There's only 2 games difference between the two. Yards passing per attempt are better for Rodgers. Touchdown ratio is better for Rodgers. Except for Tom Brady has been extremely good in that area as well. But passing TDs, he's got 315, 261 to Brady. I mean, I can go through all the numbers, but Rodgers has basically got him beat. How good should we consider Aaron Rodgers to be?
Well, I mean, he's one of the best currently playing. He's going to be one of the best probably have ever played. And I know you can get into the rings discussion, and you can talk about Dan Marino and the, you know, and the value of winning rings or not winning rings and where that should really fall on the whole thing. Bill, now Tom Brady, it was in his first 10 years that he missed that entire season where Matt Cassel came in, right? That would have been probably somewhere around Tom Brady's 8th, 9th, or 10th year off the top of my head. So he missed that whole year. So kind of the games that Rodgers has missed, that doesn't surprise me because Rodgers has missed, well, he missed what, 11 games this past season? He missed how many in 2013 when the 8-7 in 1 year? He missed 7 games, I believe, 8 games that year. So that part about lines up. But, you know, I remember even going back like 3 years ago, and I think it was around the time that Rodgers was about to start his 100th career game. I think that happened maybe late in 2015. And I was, you know, and talking with Rodgers about it at that time. And you can analyze the numbers. You can, you know, you can go bad all you want. The efficiency that of which Aaron Rodgers has played the quarterback position to this point, and I don't think there are many signs or any signs of that slowing down, he's just the most efficient quarterback to have ever played. And that reflects itself in passer rating. The infrequency of interceptions is unlike anybody has been able to do before. And it's not even really close. It's really not. Like you talked about the touchdown to interception ratio. And it's not like Tom Brady is the type of quarterback to give the ball away. And the fact that you can parallel Rodgers' first 10 years with Brady's really is another like milestone moment. So 100 career starts, that's a career milestone moment. That's a moment that you should look at. You should say, how does it compare to other quarterbacks through 100 starts? Okay, that was a few years ago. Now looking at it and saying, okay, 10 years later of being a starter, where do these numbers line up with the greats of all time? And, of course, you don't even have to look outside of the retired list to find Tom Brady, and a guy who has just done incredible things in his career. Bill, how many rings did Brady have through 10 years? Three?
Yeah.
Four?
Yeah, three or four. That's a great question.
Because, I mean, the difference that could put Rodgers really over the top is clearly if in the next 6 years the Packers can win two rings would really, really put Rodgers into that, you know, that next echelon of all-time great quarterbacks for people who value the rings piece. And there's always going to be people who think that rings are a major, major part of it in terms of how you should value the quarterback's all-time greatness. But Brady has continued to do that between the age that Rodgers currently is, 34, and Brady's current age in his 40s. If Rodgers can even win one more in that time, it would be, you know, there's so many quarterbacks who have won one. There's, you know, the list gets much smaller once you start talking about two, and really small when you start talking about three or more. So, you know, I don't think there's, you know, we know Rodgers has made the recent comments about he wants to make himself as valuable as possible over the next 6, 7, 8 years so that he's indispensable, so the Packers can't get rid of him, so he can be a Packer for life. And, yeah, he's going to have this big salary cap number coming up pretty soon whenever they do get that contract finalized. But let's face it, if he can win at least one more ring or help the Packers win one more ring, it's going to do a lot to cement that status. But, again, if they can get to two more Super Bowls, especially if they can win two more, that's what has really separated Brady, is that in his mid to late 30s and now into his 40s, he continues to win rings. And whether that's, you know, again, whether wherever you come on that debate in terms of the value of that, in terms of judging quarterbacks in an all-time meter, Rodgers needs that. He, you know, he won at age 28, right? I think Rodgers was 28 when they won that Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, hasn't been back since.
Right.
He needs to do his part to get the Packers there. And I'm sure he is counting on Mike Pettine as much as any Packers fan is to help make sure that defense is, you know, in Mike McCarthy's words, no longer the stepchild of this organization, and you know, not have so much relying on Rodgers' shoulders every Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, that's the difference. When you look at it, there was three rings in the first 4 years for Tom Brady, but by the time he had gotten to 10 years, they had five visits to the Super Bowl.
Five visits and how many wins?
Five visits, three rings in the first ten years. Yeah. That's some serious success.
One visit, one ring. I mean, that's a big difference. And Brady should get a ton of the credit for that, but, you know, not all of the credit. That's as stable of his organization as maybe outside of the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA. That's about as stable of his organization, successful of an organization that any quarterback could ever ask to play for. And, of course, Bill Belichick is the ringleader and the guy that deserves probably the vast majority of the credit for that, just like Popovich does with the Spurs.
Good stuff, Paul. We'll chat again on Wednesday, okay?
All right, Bill.
Talk to you later. There you go. Paul Emming, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider, hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years, they'll be getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Hopefully you're having a terrific day today. We certainly appreciate you joining us. This portion of the program brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network and of summer and music and all that goes along with it. We're going to be back at the Wisconsin State Fair Park Budweiser Pavilion a week from this Wednesday. It's upon us, and hopefully the weather's warmer and better. But Rebel Grace is going to take the stage. We're going to be out there for our run walk and raising money for St. Ben's Community Meal and Feeding the Hungry. So please come out 1 week from this Wednesday night. It's May 30th. We'll be the first one at the Wisconsin State Fair Park in the Budweiser Pavilion. It is Wednesday Night Live. It is free admission. $6 to park a car. Free for motorcycles. Come on in, bring a chair, enjoy it out there on the grass, or stand up and come into the big, giant, German-style beer hall. But it's all at the Budweiser Pavilion, all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Hard Knocks is back again this year, and this used to be a big deal as to who was going to be on Hard Knocks. Here's my question. Who watches Hard Knocks anymore? I mean, seriously, Hard Knocks is on HBO. And there's some people that have HBO. But in the grand scheme of things, who's watching Hard Knocks? There's so many people cutting the cord. And no cable, no DirecTV, none of that. So many people cutting the cord. Who's watching Hard Knocks? It's nowhere near as big as it used to be. Just throwing the question out there. I mean, it used to be something that I'd look forward to. Now, I have to admit, I still have the cord. I still have, the desire to watch Hard Knocks is kind of the job. So, and I'm also very intrigued by what is known as Packers East now, with John Dorsey and a lot of the front office people that are over there working in Cleveland. So to me, it's interesting. But in the grand scheme of things, who's watching Hard Knocks anymore? The show might have, they may be better off putting it on the NFL Network rather than HBO and having NFL Films do it than having the HBO guys do it. I mean, I know HBO and Showtime Sports and all that kind of stuff, they really have that niche, but I got to be honest, there's a lot of people that aren't watching that stuff anymore. If you want to get movies, go to Netflix, go to Hulu, go to YouTube, rather than paying a monthly fee, people are just kind of picking and choosing what they want and not watching that stuff anymore. So I wonder how many people are actually going to be seeing it. I know Showtime Sports still, they really put a lot of effort into their sports programming. As a matter of fact, we had the president of Showtime Sports on when we were out in Minneapolis for Super Bowl this year. And it was great to talk, sports and boxing and everything they have going on. But just kind of throwing it out there. Who's really watching? Who's really watching, Hard Knocks and HBO and all that kind of stuff? You know, there's HBO Now. I know that. And there are people that have it on the stick, the Fire Stick. I think it's you can get it with the Amazon Fire Stick or something like that. But
I have HBO Now.
Do you? So, but are you watching Hard Knocks specifically?
I plan on watching Hard Knocks.
We kind of do, though. I mean, it's something that intrigues us, but
I'm really interested to see how this Cleveland Browns organization is going to be run by former Packer executives. And a lot of former Packer players are on that team,
that's
too.
That's why I have the interest.
I think I'm very intrigued by what they're going to put together during training camp here. I'll be all over it. I watch a lot of shows on HBO.
Mark writes in the Wendy's email inbox, since I cut the cable, haven't watched HBO, haven't looked back, didn't really need it. This one's from Wisconsin Leif. Says, not going to lie, never watched any Hard Knocks ever. This one's from Justin, who said, I think you'd be surprised about how many people actually watch HBO. You don't need cable to get it. No, no, I'm not saying you need cable to get it. I'm just saying with everybody that's cutting the cord for cable and costs, just a lot of people aren't watching Hard Knocks or watching HBO. I think you can get movies in so many other places now. It used to be you went to HBO or Showtime or Cinemax or, you know, whatever, or Sun, what is it, Stars was another one. But there's HBO Go that everybody's talking about. Says their highest rating in 5 years that they got last year. Really? Who did they have last year? Who was the Hard Knocks team last year? Was that? That wasn't the Rams.
Buccaneers.
Was it Buccaneers last year? John says, I watch it all on Amazon Prime. Watch the Cardinals and the Cowboys and the Michigan Wolverines. Hugh says, and not watching HBO Go, not paying for it anymore. Got rid of that a while ago. Handpick my movies now. Todd says, I still watch some HBO and HBO Go, but don't pay as much attention to Hard Knocks. I know some friends who do, though. Laserface says, sounding like an old man. No, I'm not. I'm just saying that there's a lot of people that just don't have it anymore. They had good ratings last year, but how many people are watching it? Because I do the Netflix, I do the Hulu, I do the Stars, I do, we have the Amazon Fire Stick, we use that. There's a lot of stuff that I have that's on the go. Well, there you go. Justin says that's because they have Game of Thrones. He says that's the moneymaker right now. HBO has the Game of Thrones, and that's the reason a lot of people are signing up for the HBO Go, which is true. It's true.
And Westworld, which is my favorite show.
Oh, okay.
I love that show.
Yeah.
Last night's episode was great. Some people are disappointed with Westworld, the second season. I'm a big fan. I've enjoyed every episode.
I've started watching some things on Netflix, too. I've just started, like, just finding random stuff that caught my interest. A friend of mine a long time ago said, you know, believe it or not, that series with Ashton Kutcher and company, Deborah Winger and stuff called The Ranch. And I started watching that. I kind of got hooked on that. Because at first the acting wasn't that great. I thought, okay, this isn't going to last. And then the more you got into it, 4 seasons now I've been watching that. It's been pretty good. There's a couple other ones, and mainly it's movies and stuff. This one's from Wisconsin Life that says, hey, if the NFL really wanted to make money, they'd put it on their own channel and their own programming. So anyway, there you go. It's just wanted to know who was watching it. How many people are paying attention to it? Yes, they had their highest ratings in 5 years, but still in the grand scheme of things, not nearly as much as they would have if they actually put it on the NFL Network. And that is from a man's life. So anyway, just wanted to find out who was watching. There's a group of people. Look, it's not just me that says they don't watch HBO as much anymore. There's a whole lot of people that have chimed in today that say they don't watch it anymore. So for those of you that say, yeah, I got it, and people watch it, that's great. There's a whole lot of people just the opposite of you that are saying, no, they don't watch it anymore. Not just me. I watch it because I have it. Charles says, I watch Looney Tunes. There you go. 855-830-8640. If you want to chime in, you can. Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He was on his way to the Budenholzer press conference today. We caught up with him, and we're going to talk a little Bucks basketball. I want you to take a listen to this conversation. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Let the good times roll, and I want these words to make things right, but it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is? If that's the worst you got, better put your fingers back to the key.
Show is on the air. We are so glad you are on board today. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. As always, we certainly appreciate it. Talked to Matt Velasquez of the Journal Sentinel a little bit earlier today. He was on his way to the Mike Budenholzer press conference. Budenholzer introduced as the Bucks' new head coach by general manager John Horst. And started out that conversation as Matt was on his way down. I just said, hey, look, we haven't had a chance to talk since all this went down. So tell me, in his opinion, did the Bucks get it right?
Yeah, I think so. I think when you look at just the team that they have and where they are, where they want to be, and the available coaches on the market during this offseason, I think this is Mike Budenholzer was one of the best, if not the best coach available in terms of having experience, having been, deep into the playoffs, having that Spurs pedigree in terms of, having that culture and knowing how to instill a culture on a team that he did with the Hawks during the time he was there. Yeah, I think that obviously time will tell, but I think as of right now, the choice definitely makes a lot of sense.
So with this young team, now I know there's a lot of talk about Giannis and Middleton meeting with him and kind of giving the stamp of approval. A lot of people saying that the meeting was brilliant in the sense that it would then give some players on this team ownership of saying, look, we have to move forward with this guy and kind of let go of the past, and therefore the inclusion gives them a sense of entitlement or empowerment, I guess might be the better word. Do you think they did the right thing in including everybody?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, they've been pretty consistent, at least in terms of talking to Giannis about things. And they've said for at least over a year now, if not more than that, that Giannis and Chris, those are the leaders on this team. Those are the two main guys. You obviously saw it in the playoffs in terms of their play. Yeah, but we've seen it over the course of the year, and those guys have developed into leadership roles and to strong voices in that locker room. And so if you have a coaching candidate who you believe is worthy of possibly hiring, and you want to kind of hit the ground running in the best situation possible, you have to talk to your two leaders, and you make sure that those guys get off to the right foot and they have involvement in the process, and that only reflects well as, obviously their teammates probably would reach out to them and say, hey, what's this guy all about? Are you going to like this guy? And, I think that's really positive.
What do you think that Budenholzer can bring to the table that's going to, I don't want to say get these guys to play better, but, the argument was, had coaching been better, this team gets more wins. I don't know if necessarily that's true, but is Budenholzer that guy that's going to get more out of this team than, say, what Joe Prunty did or Jason Kidd did?
Yeah, I think Budenholzer is a better tactician and X's and O's guy than Kidd or Prunty was. I think that's something that he obviously, during his time in Atlanta, got that team into the playoffs. 4 out of the 5 years, got them into the Eastern Conference Finals, 60-win season back in 2014-15. He's got the chops. And he knows how to try to instill a culture and kind of a belief that everyone's in their right role, doing what they need to be doing, and their value. They have that, that kind of niche that everybody can fill. They know what they need to do on offense. They know what they need to do on defense. He's obviously... he's adaptable. He's changed his offense, in ways. He's tweaked his defense in ways over the course of time, to fit his roster, which is something you'd like to see. If you're looking at a coach, you have to want someone who can adapt to the players that he has. I think that's going to be his big task this summer as he gets to know all the different players that will be on the team as the roster comes together to figure out exactly what type of offense, what type of defense do they need in order to, get the most out of their talent? There's no question this team has talent. You look at them taking the Boston Celtics to 7 games, and you see where the Celtics are now. Obviously, those Celtics are even more formidable than we might have thought they were, considering how many injuries they've had. So obviously, the Bucks have talent. Now it's all about squeezing all the most out of it that you can.
So, talking about Budenholzer being a better coach or a coach that can come in and kind of get guys motivated or at least be able to work with some of these young guys and has a lot more one-on-one time, has a lot more personality when it comes to the ability to, to kind of draw out some of their skills. So, looking at these guys, some of the younger guys on this team, take a DJ Wilson, for example. Take a Sterling Brown, for example. Some of the guys, that this team kind of picked and was relying upon that haven't really shown up to do much. Do you think he can make them better, or do we start to look at those guys and say, you know what, you have a core nucleus. Those guys really are just more so role players at best. I mean, just because to me, this team doesn't have enough depth to compete. We're seeing a frontline guys play really well, and they need a shooter, they need a big man, but they also need role players that are going to be better.
Yeah, well, that's something that Budenholzer was good with in Atlanta, is that he came into a roster that was good but not great. He didn't really make any changes to that roster. I mean, not major ones. And he got them to become, you know, a seriously competitive team in the Eastern Conference, you know, without major changes. So he was good with developing those, you know, role players and adding that depth from within. So you look at Sterling Brown, you know, he definitely showed flashes last season, was definitely undaunted by getting switched on to some premier players in the league, you know, brought a defensive intensity and attitude that the Bucks sorely needed. You know, whether he was always in the right spot or was always capable to actually, you know, get the stops that he needed to, you know, I guess maybe he wasn't always there. But, you know, he was willing, he was ready, he was, you know, he was locked in. He didn't necessarily knock him for his intensity or hustle. Obviously, he wants to become a 3-and-D type guy. That's, you know, they did last season have a smaller role, and Budenholzer's job will be to build his confidence and to build his skill set so that he is, you know, in those right spots defensively, doing what he's supposed to do all the time, adding, you know, along with that intensity element, and then also, you know, getting better as a decision maker and a shooter on offense. He's definitely further along in terms of having that experience than DJ Wilson, who, you know, played like all 70 minutes this whole season. So there's still, I think the jury's still out on him. We haven't seen enough to be totally sure what he is or what he can be. I think on paper you see, you know, 6'9", long, he can shoot the three, you know, has a couple of different things he can do on offense. I think, you know, they need to make sure that they get him, you know, confident in just knowing exactly what his role is. Right now his role is basically non-existent. So if he can have a consistent role, or he can earn a consistent role, it would be through, you know, rebounding, which the Bucks obviously struggled with last year, playing sound defense, and being confident on the offensive end, knowing what his shots are, where they need to come from, and when to take them.
Talking with Matt Velasquez of the Journal Sentinel as the Bucks get ready to introduce their new head coach to the rest of the world. In the meantime, we're wondering, is Jabari Parker going to be back? I mean, that's kind of first and foremost as far as building blocks go with this team. I would assume at some point he's going to sit down or at least have a phone conversation or something with Jabari to say, you know, hey, is this something where you want out of Milwaukee, or do you want to coexist with everybody and everything becomes copacetic and everybody's striving towards a common goal? I mean, that wouldn't that be one of the first things on your radar?
Yeah, I think that there could be conversations there for sure. The thing with Jabari Parker, I know that when I talked to Mike Budenholzer the other day at the NBA draft combine, he mentioned that I asked him what drew him to Milwaukee. He said, oh, of course, there's a lot of things, but obviously the roster, the talent of the roster is one of them. He started listing off players, and he mentioned, you know, Giannis and Chris and Eric, and he also mentioned Jabari. So obviously he values, you know, Jabari and his talent and, you know, still considers him part of the roster. Obviously, Jabari Parker will become a free agent, you know, as of July 1st, a restricted free agent, you know, meaning that the team can match any offer to him. So I'm sure that one of the main conversations Mike Budenholzer has, whether he's talking directly to Jabari Parker or not over the course of the next, you know, month and a half, is he'll definitely be talking to general manager John Horst and the rest of that team's front office. And they'll be figuring out exactly how and in which ways do they value Jabari Parker. You know, how much is he worth considering their cap situation? You know, what are they willing to offer, and what can they do during free agency? Because obviously when you have a person of Jabari Parker's talent level, you don't want to just let them walk. You don't want to get nothing in return for your number two overall pick from less than 5 years ago. You know, the Bucks are going to have to figure out, you know, what the market's going to be for him. You know, how much their salary cap situation, which is near the luxury tax, you know, can handle, and how they want to move forward. Because obviously, you know, in public, you know, conversations, John Horst has had plenty of good things to say about Jabari Parker and how much the Bucks value him. Mike Budenholzer is already considering, you know, his high level talent. And if Jabari Parker remains in the fold, I think it would be in part because of the belief of the front office and the coaching staff that they can find a consistent, reliable role for him, and that he can help the team, you know, alongside Giannis and Middleton and all the rest of those guys.
Hey, real quick, we got about a minute, but I just wanted to know, is there anybody in particular you think that's going to be sitting there that's going to be able to help this team in the NBA draft?
Well, there's definitely a lot of options, a lot of ways that you can go. Definitely interested in the combine and the guy like Jontay Porter younger brother of Michael Porter Jr. He's a big guy. He can stretch the court kind of boss, some things to work on. And then there's the mystery man in the draft combine. He wasn't there. Mitchell Robinson, he's a seven-footer, 230-ish pounds. Definitely kind of big. The Bucks might be interested inside. Freaky athletic, long. But we didn't get to see him, so we'll have to see what happens over the next few weeks.
So there you go. Matt Velasquez from a little bit earlier today as he was heading down to the Mike Budenholzer press conference. John Horst, the Bucks GM, introduced Budenholzer as the new Bucks head coach officially. Now his era is underway. And now just wait and see. I mean, there was a lot of things that he had said during that press conference that were of interest. And I thought it was very telling when he said, yes, ownership and such and the general manager. But he said the players and the facility are what brought him to Milwaukee as opposed to other jobs. So he believes there's talent here. Obviously, the facility, a new building, a new workout facility, everything located downtown. Everything's right there and accessible as far as the working relationship with both the front office and the on-the-court stuff. So they've got a state-of-the-art thing going downtown. Now we'll wait and see if it all pans out into wins as opposed to wins and losses as Budenholzer's era now begins. Coming up next, it's interesting because Roger Goodell has now spoken up, and he has something to say to Congress regarding the whole betting situation now that the Supreme Court has ruled. And we want to get into that discussion a little bit as we get ready to close things out. Also give you a little bit of a preview for tonight's upcoming game. Zach Greinke goes to the Hill this evening for the Arizona Diamondbacks as they're in town to take on the Milwaukee Brewers. This portion of the program brought to you by our good friends at over at Tobacco Outlet Plus and also our good friends over at Quick Trip. And in addition to that, don't forget, we have the cigar dinner that's not too far away. It's right around the corner. So we want to make sure that you're all signed up for that. That is Thursday night, June 7th. And we want to see you there. Want to see you out there because it's always a fun time, always going to be a great opportunity to tell some stories and have fun. And really, if you want to get the tickets, it's going to be Thursday night, June 7th, the Wisconsin Brewing Company, American Way in Verona. If you want to get tickets, Tobacco Outlet Plus on Sherman Avenue in Madison, Willow Road in Wanakee, County Road PB in Verona. That's the Quick Trip. Ticket includes a couple of drinks, your full dinner, some cigars. We're going to have a great time. Want to see you out there Thursday night, June 7th at the Wisconsin Brewing Company in Verona, out near Madison. It's going to be a fun time. Final segment of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Bill Michaels Show on the air. Hey, tomorrow on the program, Steve Kyler from Basketball Insider is going to be here talking about the Bucks' new hire. Also, Adam McAlvey is going to join us talking some Brewers baseball. And here's a question for you going into tomorrow. With Ryan Braun being down, and Braun for such a long time has been basically the face of the franchise, who's working their way into becoming that face of the franchise? And we'll discuss in that tomorrow. We'll also recap the Brewers and the Arizona Diamondbacks, Game 1. We'll get into that discussion. Also, the expectations for Budenholzer and crew. Kind of go from there. Roger Goodell, commissioner of the NFL, says they're prepared for expanded legalized sports betting in the United States, but they want Congress to get involved. Unlike Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the NFL, the NFL is not interested in receiving a direct cut of the action through a fee. That's according to league sources. The league instead is more focused on data and video rights as a potential monetization opportunity. Aha! You're going to bet on our product? Fine. But if you're going to use something of our product, such as video, or such as putting up any of our data, we want a cut of that because they'll make more money there. The more often you see stats and Stats Inc. and Pro Football Focus and all that kind of stuff mentioned of NFL sports data, they want a cut of that. In a statement released today, Goodell said that the NFL had spent some time planning for the expanded legalization of sports betting. He said there must be substantial consumer protection. Sports leagues can protect our content and intellectual property from those who attempt to steal or misuse it. So in other words, you want to bet on it, that's fine. No problem. Go for it. But if you start putting up pictures to advertise your stuff or start talking about the NFL using the three letters NFL or rather than pro football, or if you use pro football for Pro Football Focus, and they want all of that. There's more money to be made in infringement rights and fees there than there is in just getting a cut of gambling. Because the cut of gambling depends on how many gamblers are out there. But the cut that they'll get when it comes to actually marketing their image, well, that's regardless if there's one person betting or 10,000 people betting or 5 billion people betting, it doesn't matter because they get paid a flat fee. So that's what the NFL wants. In the meantime, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the PGA Tour, all of them lobbying in states interested in legalizing sports betting. They've been asking for a percentage of the amount wagered on their respective events in the form of a, quote, royalty. Saw that coming, didn't we? The leagues were originally asking for sports betting operations to pay 1%. We'll see if they actually get it. But the league itself, the NFL, is saying, yeah, go bet what you want. We don't want a cut of that. We're going to take a cut of every time you post, say, a picture of Peyton Manning or a picture, or I should say Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers, or if you take a picture of Eli Manning, or if you got a guy, a guy like Dez Bryant in the new uniform making a touchdown catch. That's our property. We own that. You got to pay us every time you do it. That's what they're interested in. So the NFL says, sure, go ahead. Bet all you want. We've been preparing for this. But we want a cut of the money showing our product. There you have it. We'll talk more about this tomorrow. We'll also recap the Brewers and the Diamondbacks. Who's the new face of this Milwaukee Brewers team? They are with Ryan Braun being on the DL and really not performing up to snuff for, we'll say, the last year. Get into that discussion. Also, talk some NBA. Got to. Bucks now down a new path. What's the expectation there? Time for us to go. Have a go. See you.
Border to Border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.